podcast.
Welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
Back again. Welcome, new listeners. We're parents. We are married. We've got two kids. Maven is 2.5. And Bryn is 4.
And we are comedians.
Oh, my God. We're so funny.
What a funny.
Terrible.
Are you laughing yet?
What a terrible way to introduce yourself to a new person. Hi, I'm Peter. I'm here to make you laugh. I guess that's what stand-up comedians do every single...
You're the one putting out a podcast claiming to be entertaining.
I'm the one? Yeah, that's true. Well, okay, week in review. How are we doing? We had a lot of things happen this week, Beth. Starting with the big thing we set up last week, which is we had a little talk...
The big thing.
We had a little talk with daycare about Bryn's... behavior. And
yeah, this was hanging over our head all week last week, which mm-hmm. is that daycare wanted to meet with us about our son's behavior issues.
His listening skills.
Listening.
And I got to say, it was delightful. It was a really productive and pleasant meeting.
It was surprisingly good.
I think we both in our brains expected that we were just going to be like yelled at. For being bad
yeah,
parents?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more confrontational. It was like, I thought, because, I mean, there to some extent, there was like this attitude and which she had set up beforehand to be like, what do you do with him when he's like this? And the thing that I think was making me nervous was just like, we don't know. We don't know what to do with him.
Yeah. Well.
And then we ended up having actually a pretty productive discussion with her because she didn't. The tactics that we do have, she was not fully aware of, and mm-hmm. we had a good back and forth discussion about how we can all try to be more mindful of this.
So specifically, she let us know about 2 incidents, quote unquote, that happened that in my mind was like, oh, it's our fault. But in retrospect, like she was scared that something would happen and that we would be mad at her.
Yeah.
So one was they all went to the park one day and she said,
it's time to leave.
Time to leave. And Brynn's like, no. And we would refuse to go. So she did what I have tried on several occasions, which is the, all right, we're leaving. Bye, Bryn. And you like go and you walk.
And a lot of times that does work.
And like you go around the corner and you peek and you see what he does. But in this instance, he stayed there defiantly.
And then he went up to a stranger, a woman who was there with her kid, and said, they left me.
And so this woman had to run back to the park and say, no, I was watching. Like, he wasn't left alone. I'm not
doing
neglectful.
My job.
And I'm sure she did not want us to find out about this somehow.
Yeah.
But she told someone, and we were very like, oh, yeah, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time waiting for the bus, he got excited playing in a gazebo and refused to get on the bus. And she has learned that, like we have, that if you say to Bryn, and you suddenly get serious and mean, he's going to dig in and he is not going to
It's a weird
go along with it.
Conundrum to think about because I think our last resort tactic is to literally just wrestle him indoors. And you can't ask strangers to do that to your kids
when they've got 10 other kids there
and
too.
He is getting enormous and I'm to the point where I'm like on a daily basis like we need a better solution.
Well, we do have one, and I think the things that we talked about
you were so throughout this whole thing you were trying to make it sound like you have more answers than me and that you're not constantly dealing with a defiant child who doesn't listen.
We're dealing with the same problem.
Okay.
I'm excited about some things that have worked for me.
But you went into the meeting with her when she was bringing this up, and I was like scared because I was like, I don't know. And you were like, well, I know how to fix this. And you're just like throwing out ideas that work like 50% of the time.
So should I have suggested nothing? She
no,
specifically said,
I'm
like,
saying,
I need your guys'
you
help.
You speak with a lot of authority on things
and you know
that
what?
You
It makes people really comfortable, unless you're my wife.
Yeah,
in which case you don't trust it at all.
Our son is darting into traffic and it's not working.
Okay, well, let's specifically talk about the things I suggested, which I think are excellent ideas, even if they don't have a perfect batting
average. I didn't say they're
bad
ideas. I'm just saying you're presenting them as though they are foolproof solutions.
That is you interpreting, knowing how full of shit I am. She doesn't know that. Anyway.
Yeah, that is me interpreting with facts.
The tactics we suggested, we talked about last week a bit. But I think the thing that really works with Bryn is in the moment realizing he's getting emotional is to like take a breath, step away, and try to meet him where he is on an emotional level.
Acknowledge that he's feeling sad or frustrated.
Ask him about those feelings and why do you feel that way? And then work your way back to the moment it could have gone better. But the two other simple things that we both shared with her that I think were great is the don't ever surprise Bryn that you're about to... that you're about to stop what he's doing now.
No sudden movements.
No, like, time to turn off the TV. Like, you need a 5-minute warning at least. Like, time to leave the park. You gotta let him know, Bryn, we're gonna leave in 5 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
I think this is
and all of these things have to be presented to him very calmly,
mm-hmm.
and like with as though you don't expect him to fight.
Yeah,
just be like, so this is going to happen in about 5 minutes, and we're all going to move along to the bedroom where we'll be putting on pajamas.
Mm-hmm. And if he goes no, I ignore that, and then I just start doing other things. And then in 2 minutes, I'm like, all right, we got 3 more minutes till bedtime, and. If he says no, I ignore it, and he doesn't get upset. And then the other thing that you suggested, which I think is great, is something that works on me, which is the, like, give him a job. Bryn, can you be line leader? And he will take you, he'll go wherever you want him to go.
Well, this is what we got from the survey we filled out at the preschool parents' night, is they were asking what he responded to and what he was into, and the answer is attention. attention.
Yeah.
Power. And I think preschool really used the surveys we filled out, because the first week that they started assigning jobs to kids, they made him the line leader. And then they additionally made him calendar helper on top of that, I think in the same week. So it was like a lot of stuff where he got to perform leadership, and he felt very a part of things. And I think it was like a good introduction to jobs for him, because he was like, oh, jobs are fun.
Yeah, if you point his enthusiasm in a productive direction, he's gonna take care of it. But if his enthusiasm is pointed in a counter direction, everything is coming to a halt very quickly.
Yeah. So we told the woman who runs daycare that, and she perked up. She was like, oh, yeah, he does. Like,
yeah.
She also, one thing she said in the meeting that we both enjoyed was, she's talking about him being stubborn, and then she was like, he's very smart.
I think the word was incredibly smart.
Incredibly smart. You love that. but it was like...
Of course, you're a parent. You're going to blush. You want everyone to talk about your kid that way.
I mean, I come from a family of incredibly smart but difficult people, so I was just like, yeah, isn't it great and terrible? Like, just when people are using their vast resources to try to outwit you at every turn.
And I come from a family of really smart but distracted people. So that was great. So I think that was a big win, and everyone feels good. And I was also, the big thing is, I was like so happy that she only had 2 instances to talk about. I thought this was like a daily problem.
Yeah, I was like, don't you mean every second? We told her in the meeting, like, he's worse with us than he is with you. I think this is like every parent's experience. And she was like, he used to be. And I think what happened is the luster of daycare has worn off, and now he thinks he's like big kid on campus.
He has to prove himself to all the little babies that are around.
Yeah. And so he's not listening.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So that was that.
And then on Friday night, we went to The Blaze.
The Great Pumpkin Blaze. Is it called a jack-o'-lantern blaze? What was it called?
Sometimes it's referred to as the blaze, sometimes the jack-o'-lantern blaze. This, for those of you outside of Westchester, this is a thing, not in Sleepy Hollow. I think it's actually Croton on Hudson, but they hand carve like over 1,000 pumpkins.
Oh, thousands of
thousands
pumpkins.
Of pumpkins. Some of them are real pumpkins. Some of them are fake pumpkins, but
an
they
insane
are
insane number of real pumpkins.
They do make a point of telling you that they're all hand carved.
Mm-hmm.
And they light them up at night and you go walk through and it's like pumpkins stacked on top of pumpkins in the form of like a
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty, dinosaur, Jack in the Box. They're formed into shapes of things.
It's incredible.
It's really impressive.
I knew it would be cool, but it was far more elaborate than I anticipated.
It's pretty elaborate. It's also, I have to say, for people not in the area, it's like a weirdly in-demand activity. They put the tickets on sale in early September, and they sell out in like 2 days, that like a full month's worth of tickets for this event. So people want to see these pumpkins.
Bryn said so many funny things to me, and I can't remember any of them.
He was acting very scared and, like, spooked.
He was scared like an 80-year-old man, where he's like, Daddy, this is too scary.
But he also does, like, cartoon faces, where he's, like, sticking his lower lip out and being like, I'm scared.
And he'd say things like, I think this part's too scary, too.
This is his second year there. I think he like vaguely remembered last year.
It is?
Year. Yeah.
You guys went last year?
Yeah.
Where was I?
You're just missing an action dad as usual.
Last year I was. Well, that paints a picture that's not accurate, but a weekend, not around weekend dad.
Nights around, and weekend. Not around nights and weekend dad.
I'm around all week. It's one.
You're around all the time when our kids are at daycare, so.
It's true.
I
love the pumpkin blaze too. I got scared too.
It was so scary.
There was a headless horseman that threw his head.
The music is what's really scary, I think. It keeps it in a constant spooky mood. And so Maven just clammed up for the whole thing.
the lighting design is amazing. They just have these like subtle colors hitting the trees like above, and so you have a weird sense of space and place, and it's not a very big area, but you feel like you're going through this cave.
It is so spooky, you guys. You gotta check it out.
It felt like a real family event. Like, our kids are at the age now where we can take them places, and you're like, we're really doing family activities. It's no longer trying to go places while carrying babies who are stopping us from enjoying everything.
Well, that was the big thing I noticed this weekend. I did have to carry Maven for most of the blaze because it was at night, but our kids can walk now, and that is a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
So that leads us into Saturday, which is when we took our kids to the Mystic Aquarium.
It was such a fun-filled weekend.
Yes. We met my parents who live in Massachusetts, so we met them halfway between here and there. And it was good. Aquarium, I think, is, in general, a good activity for kids. There's a lot to see.
Oh, yeah.
There's always interactive stuff, but it's not like...
And you gotta love penguins!
But when you go to a children's museum, there's like a couple of interactive things and then nothing. And this is like interactive things and then also a ton of fish and things to see.
Weirdest part of the whole thing was seeing two scuba divers jump into the main tank in Halloween costumes.
They had skeletons. Scuba gear on.
They brought pumpkins down there and just carved jack-o'-lanterns underwater.
And they were feeding the fish little like pieces of
the pumpkin. Were you really concerned that those fish were going to choke? Because I was.
No.
Okay. I mean, I was confident they'd thought it through, but part of me was nervous.
I really loved how much Maven was into the aquarium. When we walked in, we got right into the stingray tank where you can pet the stingrays.
And she was
standing
focused.
Above it, just frozen, just like it was like Moana's grandmother when the the rays swim around her. Maven was just like taking it in like the queen of the rays.
Well, it's just also like it was her job.
Yeah, she wouldn't move from that spot for a while. I think she didn't understand that there was more to the aquarium besides that one room, so she was like, I'm gonna take this in.
And she was not smiling, but she loved it. But she was just like,
she's so focused.
I need to see all of this.
And she would walk up to the other tanks full of fish, just like with her face up close with all the fish swimming around her. It's the same thing, just like frozen.
She said like two words the whole time, I feel like. I feel like the bigger the group of people, I think this is similar to you, the more people that are around, she's just not interested in trying to like take the focus.
No, she doesn't want to talk in front of those people. When we're at home, she's really silly, and she's making like nonstop fart jokes. And then we get around other people she's not familiar with, and she won't say a word.
Yeah, I mean, this is her grandparents and her aunt. She knows everybody. I think it's just the numbers.
But I don't know. She was also really tired because we took her to the Blaze the night before.
Did we talk about the Blaze?
We had a big night at the Blaze, so it was a big weekend.
We got blazed, as they say.
Yeah.
They don't say that. The last thing I'll say is unrelated to children, but we were at the Mystic Aquarium, and as we were walking around, I was like, oh, there's a sea lion show. Oh, that's funny. I have a friend. So Lee Overtree, who... with whom I do the Story Pirates podcast, got hired last summer by an aquarium to write and direct a show and narrative around the sea lion show that they do. So he wrote and directed this really funny show based around what the sea lions are capable of doing. And it was this like big bizarre project that he got hired to do. And I was like, I would love to go see that, but I can't. And I was at this aquarium, and I was like, oh, they have a sea lion show. I bet it's not as good as Lee's. And I, like, sent him a picture of something. And then as I was leaving, I was like, hey, Lee, what is that aquarium you did your show? And he's like, oh, that's the Mystic Aquarium.
Too bad we didn't see it.
We just missed it. And I'm honestly so upset. Like, when am I going to be there again casually? So if you're in the Mystic, Connecticut area, see Lee Overtree's sea lion show.
I did. As we were leaving, I got up higher on one of the platforms to look towards the whale tank, and I saw they were feeding the beluga whales, which were adorable. And I was holding Maven, and we watched them for a while, and like I think you and my parents had already headed towards the parking lot or something, so she was alone for once, and she like, that was when she started talking, and she was like, yeah, whale, like she was really,
they were like, okay, that's
it.
Enough, let's go.
Yeah. They were, those beluga whales are so cute.
You want one?
I do want one. This next segment is called Did You Knows, where we share some parenting things we've read online.
Okay. So this one's real loose. This one's real light. I read this whole article in Wall Street Journal about finding out the gender of your baby. And I'm not even going to really read this article because I'm just going to give you the gist of it. But the basic idea of this article, there's a lot of anecdotal interviewing different couples where apparently there is a trend that is more so than in years past of one parent finding out the gender of the baby while the other remaining ignorant to that gender. And it was just a fascinating read about the issues that come along with that. It's typically fathers not wanting to know the gender and mothers deciding what it is, which, and so they can, and whoever it is, if it's not always that way, but so one parent knows the gender and starts to plan accordingly and thinking up like baby names and all that. But weird issues like buying clothes for babies and having to hide them from your spouse, and also while having the baby name discussion with your spouse, pretending like you care about the gender that you know the baby isn't.
That sounds so hard to pretend to care.
And I read this article and I was like, boy, this is so stressful for the person who decides to hear it. And it's really easy for the one who's like, I don't want to know. So obviously that I related to this because I didn't want to know the gender. But you were like, okay, I'm going to find out.
I remember you not wanting to know.
That was my preference. It wasn't a real strong one, but I was like, let's be surprised. And you were like, no, this is not a discussion. I'm finding out. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, well, I'm not going to let you know and me not know. I hadn't thought it through, but it's for exactly these reasons that... I hadn't thought it through.
You're taking credit for the things you didn't know. Okay. All right. Great. That sounds
Let me
right.
take that back. You're going to be moving on with like the next part of being a parent, and I'm going to be back here, and I don't know what's ahead, and like I didn't want that. Also, I don't like other people knowing things I don't know.
Yeah.
Why did you make that decision?
Because I wanted to know. It's weird. When I see, like, you know, videos of childbirth, which I always think are very impressive, and then sometimes they'll, like, reveal the gender in the moment. Like, that's exciting, but I also, like, having been through it, you have such a crazy rush of hormones in that moment. Like, anything could be happening, and you're just sort of like, what? Is this baby alive, healthy? What's going on? Like, it doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
It's fine if you want to find out then, but I don't think that's, like, a... necessarily like a time to fully process it. And
it's not like it diminishes how incredible that moment is.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want our families to know with Bryn because I think my number one reason was because if it was a girl, I thought they would buy us a million pink things. And I was just like, I can't handle being inundated with pink. Like,
did we not tell anyone the gender?
Well, we weren't going to, and then it was a boy, and I suddenly just, like, didn't care anymore. And I was like, okay, fine, it's a boy.
You,
like,
just didn't want pink things.
Yeah, and then by the time Maven rolled around, I think I just cared less about everything. But I don't know. Like, with Maven, too, like, she got a lot of hand-me-downs, so she didn't get a ton of pink stuff, which is also nice. And I just, mm-hmm. now she's really into pink, and I don't mind because it feels like
it's her
decision. Like, this something she's into. But... I think it's a weird thing to do to, like, a newborn from day one.
Well, it's such a weird thing. It's like you don't tell people the baby name you picked until the baby is born. Because if you go, hey, we're going to name our son Bruno, that you're asking people to judge a name on its own. And it's most people won't love it. But if you say, hey, here's my son. His name is Bruno. Like, you can't judge it because you're judging a person now.
Right. And especially, I think the people who have the biggest opinions about stuff like this are grandparents. And then once they have a grandkid, they're going to love them either way. So you might as well just present them with this grandkid that they love with the name they have.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, like, know for however many months that they don't like your decision.
Yeah, don't tell anyone the name. Well, a funny thing happened to me because before, when you first got pregnant, we didn't know the gender, and you had a strong feeling that it was going to be a girl, and you've decided, like, this is going to be a girl, and I was very, like, you don't know, science says, and I was like, you don't know, and I was, and then as time went on, without trying to, just because of how you were talking about the baby, the picture in my head, you create a character. There's this person, and I had a daughter, and she existed in my head, and I didn't realize I had committed to that idea just because that's how you were talking about it until you found out the gender and I was out of town. So you called me, and you told me that it was a boy.
Well, I opened the envelope while on the phone with you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it was funny because the... technician, I told her, I asked her if she would write it on the thing for me and put in an envelope.
Yeah.
And she drew an arrow pointing to a penis and wrote, boy.
Well, that is what they're looking for.
Yeah.
But I remember the second, because I could hear you were excited and surprised that it was a boy. But the first reaction I had without thinking about it was that, like, I just lost my daughter's gone. And I didn't realize how fully I'd committed to this character until it didn't exist anymore. And I was like, oh no. But it wasn't real, obviously. I had never met this baby in person. And then you create this other character that is the first version of Bryn, because we decided on a name. And then the baby is born, and you're like, oh no, this is the person. It's like relationships.
Back to the article. I think the decision here on this of to know or not know, like, this is one of those where I have to say I think the mother should get to decide. Like, assuming this is a male-female relationship. Like, there's so much your body is going through that you're doing to create a person and, like, destroy yourself for almost a year. And it's like, It doesn't matter what your arguments are for or against knowing. It's like, just you get to decide.
That is traditionally been the point of view for a lot of people.
Traditionally?
Well, that was part of this article. It's like, typically that is many people's deciding factor, mom, for those reasons. But I'll say, I understand not wanting to know, but just know that if you're going to split that duty, the person who does know that...
No, but like you're acting like this is a shared thing. Like all of these things, like it feels like the same thing with planning a wedding with you and having a baby where you like don't do the work.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
You come in towards the end and want to have an opinion. And like the knowing whether it's a boy or a girl affects the kinds of clothes you buy.
This is exactly what I was, what you are saying is exactly what I was just saying just now. I 100% agree.
But that's why I'm saying this is stuff that still falls mostly on the mother's shoulders, not because women want to, but because men don't step up. So then for you to have an opinion that's like, I don't want to know, is like you just like brushing off more emotional labor for a mother of a newborn to deal with when she's already underwater.
Yes. You just articulated exactly what I was attempting to say.
Exactly.
Yes.
You keep taking credit for...
No. I am trying to give you full credit for being able to say more articulately what I was trying...
You didn't respond to me in a tone that was in agreeance when you started...
Well, because you interrupted me... as if I was about to say the opposite of what I was trying to say. So pardon my defensiveness. I'm agreeing with you. You are right. I don't think I would have understood that at the time when we were making this decision, even though I claimed in retrospect to fully understand.
Yeah, even though you are now claiming that this was exactly your point all along.
I take it all back. I don't know anything.
But you did the same thing with the birth plan, which was me doing all this research and having the experience of literally having a person inside my body. Mm-hmm. And then you, doing no research, decided to refute my birth plans. And
I 100% supported your birth plan. I did have questions about it.
100%?
Yeah.
That is 100% a lie.
Well, you say me having questions and concerns about it, if that's not 100%, you're right, I did. But at no point was I like, we shouldn't do this.
Yeah, you were. When I got in a fight with your family and my family, and then you were not backing me up. And you kept saying that they all had valid arguments, and you made it sound like I was dumb, even though I was the only one of any of us who was doing any research on this topic.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, which is basically everybody, Beth wanted to have a home birth for our first child, and I was nervous about that, and I did have questions, and I don't remember all these details, so I'm going to assume that everything just Beth said is correct.
But even now, this, you not remembering the details, like you get to have the luxury of not worrying about the details,
mm-hmm.
while all of it either directly affects me or reflects on me.
That's fair.
So anyway, what I was saying before. Before you took credit for all my thoughts and words while actively disagreeing with them.
Wait, how did we get here? I support. I agree. I'm listening. Normally, here's the problem. Normally in real life, this is the moment where I'm like, okay, all right. Let me stop and think about what I've said so that I don't dig myself deeper because I know that Beth is right. But now we're on a podcast and we have to fill all this
and
time.
And you're trying to look it so you're correcting me incorrectly.
Right. This is me stopping to admit my faults.
Okay. Anyway,
I agree with Beth.
Moms, if you want to know or not know, it's your call.
Dads, if they want to know, just know too. You know what? It's a moment.
I don't even think.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Unless it matters more to you. I don't know. There's no right answer. But just know you're asking more of your wife whether you think you are or not. You like how I just learned a lesson and then I turned around and just told all the dudes out there like it was my idea?
Yeah, and you had to have the last word on everything.
I love you.
This next segment's called Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we take questions and comments from our listeners.
We got a couple of emails. This one is from Kevin. Kevin writes, "Hi, love your podcast. My wife and I have three kids, a four-year-old boy and 18-month-old twin girls. Life is busy. Today, I took the twins out for a short walk so my wife and son could have do a baking project. It's always hard to get out of the door with the twins, so I neglected to take the diaper bag. Uh-oh. Only going out for an hour. What could possibly happen? We headed for the library, a good and cheap place to kill an hour. Cheap equals free. Win. As soon as we got there, I smelled something. One of my daughters had dropped a load. I snuck a peek. It didn't seem too bad. Clean pinch. Little deer pellet-sized poops. So I decided to empty the diaper, give her a wipe, and pop the same diaper back on. Win / fail? I can't tell anymore. Ellipsis. Kevin."
Wow, Kevin. That no diaper bag is such a classic dad move. I feel like moms I know with diaper age kids will almost never leave the house without a diaper bag.
I will say, we together recently did leave the house without a diaper bag. So it's not unheard of.
Yeah, I mean...
But our kids are older, so it's like less of an issue. Older.
Also, we usually have like at least one loose diaper in the car somewhere.
There's probably 14 loose diapers in the car in different nooks
and
crannies.
Just floating around.
And like 10 packs of wipes.
We also a lot of times end up using loose car diapers to wipe up spills of soda, different...
We don't use the wipes there yet. We use random diapers. Well, they're very absorbent.
Wipes don't absorb things.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is really lucky. These were some dry pellets. That's all I have to say about this.
But you know what? I think in my mind, I read this. I was like, oh my God, you know what? That had actually never occurred to me. Just empty out the diaper and put it back on. I'm like, that's wise.
Well, but that
you'll make it back home that way.
Is incredibly rare that you've got some dry pellety poops.
Sure, but I think there's a wide range of possible poops where that's still the best case scenario.
A wide range of possible poops.
I mean, we can get into the intricacies of what kind of poop smears you got with how I'll stop describing it. But like if you know you're going to be out for a while, you got to get home. It's pretty good idea. You're going to minimize the spread and it's going to containment. So would I call it a win? I'd call it a save.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
I also can't relate to having twins, so Kevin, you and your wife are heroes anyway, but mostly your wife probably. You should say that too, Kevin. All right, now it's time for a brand new segment called Me Knows Nothing. This is a segment we do when Peter fucks up the recording so bad and we decide to record so last minute that there's literally no room for error. So that when Peter accidentally only records Beth's side of a segment and then says, whoa, we really left that to the last minute on a Monday night and we have to release this tomorrow morning, and Beth goes to bed after a very long week, and then Peter goes to put the whole thing together and edits and realizes the last 20 minutes are gone. He has a bit of a conundrum, which is, do you wake up your wife, who's had a tough, a lot of work done, and a lot of work done? What the hell does that mean? She's tired. And if I wake her up, you know what? Are we going to have fun, snappy banter? No, we're going to have a really belabored, pushed, unfun segment. So I'm going to let her sleep, you know, and we'll see if she even finds out that this happened. But what I am going to do is delightfully recreate what it was we talked about in some of the segments that were accidentally cut due to my incompetence. So we did a little Do You Knows What She Said segment. And that's a game where we offer three quotes from our daughter Maven, only one of which was real. And I offered three to Beth about something that happened this afternoon. I picked her up from daycare today. And by the way, daycare, we were supposed to have our Halloween daycare party, but apparently only three kids, including our two, brought costumes. So we showed up and they said, party's on Wednesday now. I said, okay, great. And but we got the little paper plates that Brynn and Maven made with ghost faces on them, their little art project for the day. And we took them in the car. And as I put them in the car, Maven held hers proudly. And she looked at the back and she said, and here are the three options I gave Beth. She said, because it's a little paper plate with a ghost face and there's like white paper hanging off the bottom of it, like it's its body. And on the back, it says Maven. And so she said to me, either, look, Daddy, ghost poop, referring to its body. She said to me, look, Daddy, this ghost has no hair like you. Or she looked at the back, saw her own name, Maven, and said, look, Daddy, Bryn, Maven. Delightful, fun. They all seem plausible. What did Beth guess? Beth guessed, look, Daddy, the ghost is pooping, which was a really excellent guess because, if we're being honest, Maven has talked about nothing but poop all week. In fact, she's been talking about poop. She's been drawing poop. She's a very good artist for 2.5, according to me. And the thing she's chosen to draw quite skillfully sometimes is poop. We have a big chalkboard. She drew a big oval the other day, and she said, it's a skinny egg. I go, that's pretty good. She erased it, and then she drew a much skinnier oval and said, it's a skinny poop. And then we all laughed. And so she quickly erased it and just started drawing scribbles and quickly saying, it's poop. And then not even trying to draw poop, just wanted to get to the punchline, it's poop. And then she would pose next to the chalkboard because she's classy, you know, like that. And so Beth guessed the ghost poop. But that was wrong. That was not what she said, which is why I included it as a curveball. What she did say is she looked at her name, Maven, and said, pointing at it, Bryn, Maven, which is pretty clever and obviously misinformed, as Brynn loves to look at his name and say, Bryn, Brynn, because that's how you spell it. And Maven, just this hilariously misinformed 2.5-year-old, sort of missed the point, but picked up the flow of it. You point at your name, you say these letters, and then you say the name. Bryn, Maven. So that's going to be the episode title of this episode this week. But this episode is also going to be dramatically short because we don't have any time to see each other or to do this. We make as much time as we can, but if something goes wrong, you know, here we are. I was stressed about it for a while when we ran out of our 8 backup episodes so fast. But now it has become actually, despite the fact it's stressful to get this done, much more exciting to know that, and hopefully you guys listening, you realize that what we're talking about really is this week. If you're listening to this week's episode, this is what we're dealing with this week. And it allows us to answer your listener mail more in a more timely fashion. And so I'm going to turn this procrastination into a plus. You guys are living our lives as we're living it, as close as we can. How do you end a segment without a delightful wife to banter with? abruptly? This has been We Knows Parenting for another week. If you'd like to reach out, let us know, tell us a story, ask us a question, give us advice, maybe give us a would you knows hypothetical parenting scenario, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail via our Google voicemail number, which can be found on our website, weknowsparenting.com. While you're there, why not buy a shirt? You know, holidays are coming up. We have a few shirts to purchase, including our new You Fucked Up t-shirt, which is being said by a baby. And if you'll recall, Bryn once said that to Beth. So buy that. Please find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Find Beth and myself, our personal accounts on Instagram, where you can find the funniest Bryn Maven videos around. Also, check out the Story Pirates' new album, Nothing is Impossible. Wherever you get your music, it's very good. Check out the Story Pirates podcast if you've got kids or not. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. BRYN, goodbye!